In Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, the Torah went through in great detail the commandment to construct the Mishkan and its vessels, as well as the vestments that the priest would wear when he performed the service in the Mishkan. And the Torah spent a lot of time on it. Two full parshias are devoted to these details. And then this week we have Vayakel and Pekudei, in which all of these details are repeated. Another two parshas spent on the exact same facts, going over all of them in the exact same details as if we never heard them before. And the difference is that in Parshas Truma Tetzaveh, Hashem is commanding the Jewish people to construct the Mishkan and to make these vestments. And in Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei, the Torah is relating to us the actual performance of those commandments, when the Jewish people actually fulfilled that which they were commanded. Before the Torah repeats the construction of the Mishkan and tells us how they actually performed it, the Torah first repeats something else, and that is the law not to perform malacha on Shabbos. It says, Sheshes yamim teyose malacha, vayem ha-shevi'i yiyye lachem kodesh Shabbos Shabbosayim Hashem, kol ha-yisevay malacha yimas. Don't do any malacha on Shabbos. And then it goes into the Mishkan and so on. Why is the law of Shabbos repeated here before the repetition of the Mishkan? So the Ramban quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says that the purpose is to teach you that the construction of the Mishkan should be halted for Shabbos. Even though there's a commandment to construct the Mishkan, when Shabbos arrives, we stop temporarily until Shabbos ends. Now, the Torah never tells us what malacha means. It just says, don't do any malacha on Shabbos. Now, what does malacha mean? The Torah is assuming that we know what it means. Now, how are we supposed to know what it means? So the Gemara says, well, we'll make the argument goes as follows. It says, don't do malacha on Shabbos. And right after that it says that you should perform the malacha of the Mishkan. And we just said that the reason why it repeats Shabbos is to tell you not to do the malacha of the Mishkan on Shabbos. So therefore, says the Gemara, we learn from here that when the Torah says don't do malacha on Shabbos, it means don't do any of the labors that were performed during the construction of the Mishkan on Shabbos. That's the definition of malacha. The definition of malacha is any form of labor that was utilized in the construction of the Mishkan. This is where we know the 39 malachas. The number 39 we get from a different word in the Torah, but how the way to know which labors are these 39 of categories of labor are extrapolated from this juxtaposition of the laws of Shabbos with the laws of the construction of the Mishkan. That's point number one. Now, I also want to address why the Torah goes through the whole repetition. Many times the Torah says, you should do such and such, and Moshe fulfilled the commandment. Here, the Torah says, the Torah could have saved us two parashiyos with one sentence. Vayasu kedvar Hashem el Moshe. You know, like it says all the time. Vayasu kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Kein asu. One pasuk would have taken care of the whole parashas Vayakel Pekudei. And yet the Torah relates in just as much detail over and over again, going through every single vessel and every single article of clothing that Aaron HaKohen wore. Why? So the Ramban says a very important principle. And this is a theme which runs through many different parts of the Torah. We know that the Torah is infinite. There are many things that we know that the Torah just hints to. And the major foundations of our belief, major foundations in halacha that we extrapolate from an extra letter, or a missing letter, or the repetition of a letter, that we find so many halachas that are extrapolated from things which are hardly stated. And yet when it comes to deeds that are performed by righteous people, the Torah goes on and on describing in detail every single thing that they did, every word they said, every action they performed when it's conveying a lesson. For example, we have by Eliezer. When Eliezer was searching for a wife for Yitzhak, it says he makes this deal with Hashem. It tells the whole story, and then when Eliezer relates the story to Lavan and Besuel, the Torah goes through the entire story again. Why? So the Gemara says Yafis Yichasan Shel Avdei Aves, that daily talk of the forefathers is more important to Hashem than all of the halachas. And here too, when Klal Yisrael was constructing the Mishkan, they were performing an act of their own free will, and Hashem found that more important to relate to us than all the other halachas that we derive from an extra letter here or a missing letter there. And that's a very important lesson, that although the Torah is infinite and all of the halachas are infinite, but as finite human beings, when we perform these acts, that's more precious to Hashem than his own wisdom that he imparts to us. And that the product of a decision made by a free human being carries more weight with Hashem, is more precious to Hashem than the product of his own infinite wisdom. It's fascinating. And that's a great lesson for us, that to know that every action that we do is so important that it warrants Hashem's attention, and it warrants more words and more sentences than the halachas that are composed by Hashem himself.